The long-term benefits of beer have been proven by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. Drink beer.
Beer, brewers, and boozers. I'm Larry P. Welcome to Brewers Banter. Welcome back to Podcast Land, my fellow beer freaks and geeks. On this episode, I'm chatting with Sam Loader, the technical brewing and distilling manager for Bevy, which is also responsible for the Grainfather from Auckland, New Zealand. Sam joins me at about 11 o'clock in the morning his time, so there's no drinking on his end. However, I do enough for both of us, as expected. Sam and I will be chatting about the G30, the G70, and the newly released G40 all-in-one brewing system. Enjoy the episode.
It is 11 a.m. in Auckland. I'm presuming you're not going to crack beers with me.
I was very tempted, but I'm still on the coffee this morning.
Nice. That's awesome. So, you know what? Before we get started, just to bring everyone in, I will introduce. So those who are coming in from the Grainfather app, my name is Craft Beer With Me, Larry Payton. I brew and do a lot of reviews out here from the East Coast of Canada. And I'm very happy. This is the 30th episode of the 2021 season of Brewers Banter. So I think it's super cool to have you on today, Sam. And Sam represents Bevy and Grainfather out of Auckland. So I'm going to ask you five quick questions, just sort of fun questions, just to get things started. Are you ready?
Yep, let's go.
If there's a movie made about your life, who's going to be the lead actor?
I guess it would have to be Ryan Philippe. I think that in the past that we have a similarity. Probably he's much better looking than myself, but I'll take the similarity if it's thrown to me.
It is uncanny, man. It is uncanny now that you mention that. Yes. Yes. Nice. All right. That's cool. What beer is on your bucket list? Is there a particular beer? And I mean, I don't mean a style. I mean, a particular one beer that you have not had that's on your bucket list.
New Glarus Spotted Cow. I've been meaning to get up Wisconsin way and get my hands on that one. I've been to the States now several times for both work and pleasure, and been trying to get a few of those ticked off the bucket list, and that's one of them.
Out of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. All right. What's your favorite beer style?
Oh, it depends on the day, to be honest. Nice. Being fringe season at the moment here in New Zealand, you know, about 12 to 15 degrees centigrade or about 50 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm loving dark mild at the moment. Just nice, cool weather, light session beer. But summer, I'll love a pale ale or an adjunct lager at times. Yeah. Could be anything on the day. It's too hard.
you're a beer whore. Like, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
It is what it is. That's awesome. Okay. So mash out.
Yes.
Complete it, or is it unnecessary?
I only use it as a indication to start sparging. So I have that setting on there. I normally change that mash out to 75 degrees for 1 minute. And that's literally just so that the buzzer or the push notification comes on. And then I'll go over and head straight into sparge. That's, yeah, my opinion on it. You know, you're going to denature enzymes using the hot water from your sparge, or if you are using a Grainfather system that automatically bumps up to near boil anyway, that denaturing process is going to occur very, very quickly after that anyway. So I don't personally see much of it.
Don't see much for a 10-minute mashup. Cool.
No.
All right, good. Final question of the quick five ones. If ale is spelled ALE and yeast is spelled YEAST, how do you spell Saccharomyces cerevisiae?
you're asking one of the many dyslexic brewers out there.
All good, man. All good. So we had some questions come in, which before I get into really start banging out some questions about you and about Grainfather. So one of the questions that came in was, do you feel the New Zealand beer scene is overlooked?
Yeah, I personally do think it is. We're getting a lot more presence internationally now because some of our top brewers are starting to do some really good collabs with international brewers. But we have the second highest per capita of breweries in the world now after the United States. And that kind of says something. We don't have a huge amount of churn in terms of breweries in this country. So that kind of lends a little bit to that. And we are a country that does produce almost all the ingredients for beer.
Right.
So we have several maltsters here. We have good hop farms.
No
here.
Shit, there's good hop farms. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, really, we're just missing our own sort of real yeast providers, but that's we've got a couple of them who are starting to start up now and come to their own. So that'll be great, especially for homebrewers in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so where is a lot of your yeast having to come out of the States, or are you getting them out of Europe?
Yeah. So Bevy, we have our brand Mangrove Jacks.
Right, yeah.
So we have a selection of dry yeast that come out of that. Otherwise, yes, we're having to get some liquid yeast from, you know, White Labs, white yeast imported into the country, okay. Which is not ideal, but no. Obviously our importers are very strict on how we import those goods and yeah.
Okay, no, understood. And listen, so I typically use liquid yeast. However, I have used the Mango Jacks, and I use it on a West Coast IPA,
yep.
And it was a killer. I make no arse kicking or whatever, kissing here. Like it did great. It did absolutely fantastic. It came in exactly where expected. The taste was phenomenal. It did awesome. I was very, very impressed with that one.
Yeah, I like most people started off with dry yeast when I first started homebrewing, and I liked the Mangrove Jack stuff, but as I learned more and did more, I went more heavily into the liquid yeasts, and then now working for Bevy, I've obviously circled round because I can get it for free or cheap,
right? Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense for me to do it, and after honing in and experimenting with them a lot more, it's really opened my eyes to how good dry yeasts are now on the market. You know, from ourselves, Fermentis, Lolomond, you can achieve fantastic beers with dry yeast, and being that little bit easier to manage, and just having to throw in a couple of packs rather than trying to make a starter and scale that up if you're doing really big beers can just be a nice little time-saving
absolutely.
Exercise there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with you, yeah. I mean, even here's the other side of it as well is just, shelf life. Significantly longer with drier yeast. Where I brew today a sour. I pitched a lactobacillus. It's just sitting in the grandfather right now. However, I had an older smack pack of Cali Ale out of White Labs, WLP 001.
001, yeah.
And I've done a starter with it, even though I think I'm expecting the ABV on this one to come in at maybe 5.8, which is nothing big, not tiny, but nothing big. But you know what? We'll see how it goes, but I started that yeast earlier today and it's not taken. Now it is. It definitely is a couple of months beyond. However, yeah, there's a lot more forgivability with the dry packets. So yeah, there's something to be said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing as well, as I mentioned earlier, we're a country where all our liquid yeasts are, for homebrewers anyway, are imported. It's definitely an ease for me. And, we're getting almost as many dry yeasts coming out as what the liquid yeast providers are providing out there. So, yeah, it's great. All the more homebrew for everyone.
Absolutely. Listen, man, absolutely. If someone, so Autistic Ale says low, 5% is low for you, which typically I brew big beers. Did you do a starter? Just going to let it ride? No, Mac Daddy, I actually did a starter. So the starter is what's going in there now, while the lactobacillus sits. It's just at this point, although it's not yet been 10 hours, it's not showing me what I typically like yet, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. One other question before I get into your questions is I was asked why it is that, and I'm going to hope that you agree with me, why it is that I can't accept accept the fact that the Wallabies are better than the All Blacks, and they just aren't, and that's it, period, the end. Are we good with that? The end?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
So, huge rugby fan. I've been an All Blacks fan forever. Absolutely. I will be getting there someday, sir. And no, the Wallabies, just no. I don't care. The end. Thank you. All right. So listen, man, again, for those who are popping in, I'm Larry Payton, Craft Beer with me, doing Brewers Banner here with Sam Loader from Bevy and the Grandfather. So, Sam, why don't you just tell everyone a little bit about yourself right now?
Yeah. So I've been brewing now for just over 10 years now. Discovered home brewing in my last year of my undergrad degree in chemistry. I was discovering craft beer at that point, but too poor to be able to afford it. So like most, I was like, well, I'm a scientist, I'm sure I can make this, and kind of hummed and hawed for a while. And then a friend of a friend brought round a keg of cream ale to a house party that tasted so good that the next day I went out to the local homebrew store and bought a kit. And that kind of...
That was that.
I was into the rabbit hole and, you know, kind of went from there, continued doing my honours in chemistry, and then... did a course out of the Siebel Institute in Chicago, then went on to do BJCP and Cicerone, and eventually while working for a cosmetic veterinary and medical product company, the job for a resident brewer came up at Grandfather or Bevy, and I was like, that sounds great. got the job, and that was about, it would have been about 4 years ago now. And sort of been working through that, and I'm now the technical brewing and distilling manager for Bevy. And pretty much with that, it's a lot of, I'm pretty much the brewing and distilling contact for knowledge really across the entire business for the different departments that we have. So work a lot with our marketing team on content, work very, very closely with our new product development team to develop new equipment and ingredients, and then work very closely as well with our customer service team to answer any tricky questions. Wow. Or just provide as much help as we can. That's my brewing experience. Not so much about me, but brewing is so much a part of me now that it's kind of hard to separate the two.
Listen, man, it's awesome. I think it's great. I think it's very cool. You know, especially that you get into it from home brewing. So I got into it a different side in terms of you're the chemist. I was a, I believe probably I started school a little bit before you. I feel comfortable saying, don't smile, Sam. No, I think I got more into it from the monk side, being a philosophy major. So yeah, I think beer is what got me through university. But you know what? It came down to just really not liking what was being made at the time, and then all of a sudden being a huge change in terms of what was being produced. So, you know, I speak often about my having my first IPA and going, what the hell is this? This is horrible. But yeah. I make it akin to a scotch, where my first scotch, I have never met a person in the world who has had a their first drink of scotch and go, this is delicious, this is amazing. No, it's not. You have to acquire a taste for it. And I think that was the same with the first IPA. By the time I got to the bottom, I thought, this is phenomenal. This is so different. It's great. And that's what's cool about what Grandfather then brings to everything, because you know, you go from making the kits, which is a great start. I'm not chirping kits. Great start, right?
It's a steep learning curve going to all grain straight away. You know, I started on kits. I did about six the kits before I moved to benchtop partial mash and that sort of thing. And even then, you know, the transition is not easy. And what Grandfather tried to do with that was to kind of make it a little bit easier for people to kind of go through the processes, because I started brewing on stovetop, and then I built a few three-vessel systems, you know, welding them all up, and and trying to apply electronics to it and everything like that. And I still remember, like, my first brew day on the all-grain system, like, missed so many additions. You know, I had temperatures fluctuating all over the place, everything like that. So what, you know, that grandfather, that G30 unit really did was make a, you know, easy unit that had a small footprint and just make that brew day a little bit easier by making those reminders come to you so you can actually focus on the big picture rather than, oh, crap.
No, yeah, so I agree with you. I think in one sense, for people who are experienced, it makes things a little bit easier. On the other sense, it in my opinion, actually teaches how to brew. Teaches, so you go into the grandfather, the community way, you know, side, you start creating your own, which we'll get into, start creating your own recipes. It starts reminding you about just, you know, little things like your addition, mashing out, like we spoke about before, your sparging, that it's going to preheat to your sparge, you get your boil up, at what point your boil, I'm certainly at a point now where, yeah, it just makes my life easier. However, when I started, it taught me a lot. And that's what's very cool about it, is that the machine itself is teaching you a lot. We got some questions coming in from people, so I just want to just see you here before we do. Would grandfather consider Larry as the mascot face for the brand? No. They can find a lot better people like Ryan Philippe. Let me see. What are you enjoying tonight? So this is brewed on my grandfather. This is called Breeze La Saison. It's a Brett Saison. It comes in at 8.5%. It's a beast. It's been aged for, I think, about 150 days now. It's solid, but again, did great on the grandfather, which is what I use. Okay, so Mac Daddy says the all-in-one systems and apps make things super simple. Honestly, don't even bother with extract if you can get your hands on all-in-one. Yeah, I agree 100%. Cool Nice One saying, that's why I need a grandfather. Air miles, no receipt. I went all grain only after a few batches. I knew I wanted to go all grain ASAP. So I agree. I agree with that, which is going to bring us into a great kind of transition, Sam. I was a person who, I bought a kegerator because I only wanted to be able to buy kegs. I did not get this body by drinking wine, Sam. I got this from beer. So the reality is that then it was when I bought the kegerator, I was asked, oh, so you're going to brew. Well, I'm not really sure why. And so all of a sudden I start learning, wanting to learn more. I want to get into it. I do one kit. It was an utter failure. However, likewise, it was just, I want to go all grain. I'm going to do this right or not. Do you see that there's been a huge change just in terms of the electric brewing side from a system like the grandfather?
Yeah, it has. It has definitely, through systems, all grain electric, all in one systems, it has made it a lot more accessible. And especially in countries where, you know, extract isn't readily available or really just not what people use. Like, we've seen huge uptake in South America because grain is so incredibly cheap there that there's no point doing extract because it's way more expensive. So that's where it is. And, you know, the systems do make it so accessible and that sort of thing. And there's such a huge wealth now of knowledge out there, you know, that it's very easy for people to learn with just a bit of digging and you know, listening to, you know, a few podcasts or YouTube channels out there, or reading, you know, a couple of books. Back when I started, there was, you know, only one sort of podcast out there, and, you know, one sort of, well, it wasn't even really YouTube then. It was just done through
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how I learned. And even at that point, you know, I'm definitely nowhere near as long in the tooth in terms of homebrewing as some of the guys out there, you know, who have been brewing since, you know, late 80s, early 90s sort of thing. But with that, you know, they've really cut through a lot of the mysticism and brewing and made it very easy for people to learn.
Yeah. Absolutely, I agree, yeah. So before we start getting into speaking more about the grandfather, then would you say the notion of craft beer has changed over time? Like, it's not as mystical, I don't believe, as it used to be.
Yeah, it changed in a lot of ways, some better, some for worse. From what we've seen, you know, the industry has become a little bit more, you know, closed off since there's now so much competition. When, you know, craft beer really started coming into vogue, you know, 15 years or so ago, you know, there was a real, hey, let's just share information so that, you know, everyone can be better, and let's just, you know, anyone who wants to do this great thing called craft beer, let's do it, let's, you know, help people go. But it seems to be coming a little bit more closed off, and a little bit of, you know, people kind of going back into the shells and whatnot. But you know, hey, it's still a great hobby out there, and there are still heaps of people out there that just want to help people make better beer. And I think that's one thing that has continued to improve.
Yeah, I mean, I know, I don't know. I find the craft beer industry, just in, even in homebrewers, you've got Mac Daddy on here, which we meet as a result of the Twin Instagram and the local craft beer club, but sorry, homebrewing club. I don't know. I find it's quite a people actually just want to help each other and try to make that fantastic beer. And I think that's, I mean, ultimately that's what got me into craft beer, is you become, it's very much like going out and having dinner somewhere and going, you know what, that's delicious, but I bet you I can do better. That's where I feel. Yeah. I don't homebrew because it's cheaper, because anyone who thinks it is, it's not.
No.
I don't homebrew because, you know, I can have more. But it's, again, you can buy it. I homebrew because it's a challenge, because I enjoy it, and because I genuinely believe that I can make better than I buy by using, I mean, again, not cutting corners on costs and stuff like that. And yeah. And that's what's fantastic about the Grainfather, is that, you know, for me, it brings that all into fruition. It allows the brew day to go very easy, very simplistic, very straightforward. I take the time to put the timers in. It does it for me, which is great. That said, I've been using the G30, and I know that there's some things that I've changed about my 30. I've purchased like a false bottom for it, for example, which I know on the 70, that's something that you guys altered. What are some differences between the 30 and the G70?
Yeah, so the G70 was really us, you know, finally being able to take the feedback from the G30, you know, around the seals on the plates and a recirculation system and heating and all that sort of stuff, and actually put some improvements towards that. You know, the G30 was first brought to market 2015. You know, you look at the differences in the ways that people brew then versus now, you know, people still weren't loading up the amount of hop post-boil in the whirlpool that they are today,
right.
You know, and so we really felt that it was time for us to release a new product like that. And what we had seen was a lot of homebrew clubs, a lot of craft breweries purchasing our equipment as a pilot system. So we thought, well, how can we sort of cater to that a little bit more, and, you know, get people brewing together and support that camaraderie within home brewing that we and the company really like. You know, it's what got, you know, both you and I into this hobby. So we launched the G70, which is a 15-amp, 3,200-watt system, more powerful pump, dual-stage hop filter, rolled-edge mash plate, a change in the recirculation system so that we don't have to have the check valve on the top for safety, which was the main reason for that. We could change the system from a Bluetooth system over to a Wi-Fi-based system, which we did, because when we launched the Grainfather Connect controller, the Bluetooth controller, we were worried about people not being close at hand while brewing. You know, you've got a device which has electricity, very hot liquid, and it's doing automated steps. And we wanted people to be sort of close at hand for safety. You know, we don't want anybody to get hurt or anything like that. We want to make it easier, but we don't want to be cowboys about it, I guess. So, you know, we'd had so much feedback around going to Wi-Fi and the limitations of Bluetooth that we started investigating Wi-Fi, and we eventually got comfortable enough with it that we decided to bring out the G70 as a Wi-Fi only unit. And it's been very well received. You know, people able to, you know, be close at hand but not direct line of sight, and still being able to brew and build. And we felt that there was enough safety parameters in place within the system that we felt the risk was very much lower.
Right.
Yeah.
it's So I have not yet brewed on the G70. So Ben Lucas, 1965, says love my G70. Same amount of time to do more than double. Ben.
I know, Ben.
Yeah, 65 liters. That's listen, man. That's yeah. I walk into my local brew shop and I see the G70, and my wife treats me like we went into an adult only store, because I get all, it's all like nice looking, and it's like, man, I need one of those. Ed Cook 24 asks, any update on the G40 release?
Yeah, so a few people have seen the G40's first public appearance a couple of weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago now. Mm-hmm. And that is aimed to be out end of next month, I believe, is when that's going to be coming out. There's going to be a lot more information coming out over the next coming weeks around a bunch of new products and stuff around Grainfather. We've been doing a lot of work over it's been about a year or so in the making around the G40, and there's going to be a release of a few other products, about four other products in the next 6 months. So there's a lot going on, and I can't say too much at the moment, but we're going to be releasing a lot more information around that over the next few weeks.
Nice. I do know that the community, the site is getting updated. So that's very, very cool. I can speak to that. I can tell things out of school. You don't need to talk about it, but yeah, I think it's very, very cool what's being done. I got to speak to that, to your team, and it was awesome. So I love the changes that you've made from the 30 to the 70. I'm quite looking forward to seeing what's going on with the 40. I feel as well that my wallet is going to get hurt again, Sam. However, it's going to be very exciting. So I'm quite looking forward to it.
So the aim with the G40 is to be very similarly priced as what you can find the G30 on in the market at the moment. We don't want, you know, we were trying to give the same quality that we expect out of our brand, but, you know, we have done our best to make it reasonable. And I think we did that with the G70 as well. You know, we wanted it's kind of been the mantra of the G30 unit has been a reasonably priced, good quality unit, you know. So, you know, we'll have the same 3-year warranty as all the rest of our products and all of that, full 304 stainless steel and everything like that. So
awesome. And I will speak to the warranty. So I had a bit of an issue with my control box, and it was literally they contacted you guys and they just told me within an hour, bring it back and we have another one for you. And it was just no questions asked. So it's absolutely phenomenal. Boon Eyes One asks, is the 30, the 40, is it a 70 liter? What is the G40? Is it, how many liters does it go? Is it 40?
So it is it's 40 liters into the fermenter. So yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Ben Lucas 65 says the element drops back as you get closer to the boil rather than being at 100% right up. It drops the power back. Is that something that was done as a safety issue, or is that just any idea?
No, it's pre the boil stage being hit.
Presumably that's leading up to the 100 degree boil, and then instead of continuing super hot, it cuts back a little. And so it makes your rolling boil a little.
As soon as it's in that boil stage, it is at 100% power. So,
okay.
Yeah. And there shouldn't be any variation on that. So I suspect that that's either end of sparge, trying to get to that 98 degrees centigrade before heading on to the boil. You might see some fluctuations in temperature approaching the boil on the G70, just because it is a large unit and you do get convection currents occurring. And as those go past the temperature probe, you may see a little bit of fluctuation, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, then it said pre-boil. It does back at 98 degrees centigrade. Okay, so that explains it. Yeah. All right, product-wise, so there's the G30, the 70. You guys have the 40 coming out. You know, speak to the fermenter, the glycol chiller, and then there's a bunch of accessories that come as well.
Yeah, so currently we have our GF30. The nomenclature is that way. So our grandfather fermenter 30 liter, that's just been updated in the last 6 months to have a Wi-Fi controller built in. For those that already have a GF30 previous to that, we do have a upgrade controller that can be purchased for those units to upgrade them from the current controller to a Wi-Fi controller. These integrate in fully into the app, so you can program your fermentation steps exactly the same way as what you can program your mash steps, as well as, you know, being able to integrate with other pieces of equipment like brew brains, tilts, ice spindles. As more of them come out, right, we will add them. Our conical fermenters have a built-in heating element, so they can heat up to temperature out of the box. But to cool, you will need either a cooling connection kit, which is a simple sort of hose and pump system, so you can set up a cooler or chili bin with some ice water and recirculate that to maintain your temperature. Or looking at our glycol chiller, which is a 4-channel glycol chiller that can cool, that can handle the fermentation temperatures of up to 4 fermenters. And because of the system, the controller tells the glycol chiller when to pump for that fermenter.
Right.
So all of those units can be on all different temperature profiles, everything like that, all different stages, without having to adjust the temperature on the glycol chiller itself. It's also built-in pump as well that manages all 4 fermenters, so you don't need to purchase a new pump and everything for each fermenter that you add. Wow. Yeah, and we've just launched recently as well our glycol chiller adapter, because we know that a lot of people out there are very interested in our glycol chiller, but only have, say, one of our conical fermenters, and then they might have like an SS or a Blickman, or, you know, like most of us have just our old plastic fermentation bucket that we first started with. So we wanted to be able to properly utilize the rest of those 4 channels for people. So we've got a Wi-Fi controller that comes with a heating element and immersion coil that people can either hook up the pipework to a fermenter that has a cooling system already attached within it, or use the coil and be able to turn an existing vessel into a full temperature control unit.
Wow.
Which, yeah, again, yeah, Wi-Fi controller that can then program programmable steps and everything like that.
It's phenomenal. Wow. It's phenomenal. The fact that you're integrating for other people to use their systems as well, that they have pre-existing already, is great. Speaks volumes to what Bevy and Grandfather are doing. So, I mean, there's obviously very easy use and correlation between the glycol chiller fermenter, but not just the grandfather fermenter, other fermenters as well. Before I go to the next question, staggeredco.shop asks when the G40 is coming out and how much will it cost. So the G40 is coming out, you figure, again, the end of the month?
End of next month,
And similar to the G30.
Similar, that's all the price that I can do at the moment.
All good. So the grandfather website, I mean, this becomes part of it, because, you know, as much as you can have a fantastic tool, you know, hardware per se, you need software to be able to use it. And that's where the grandfather website community comes in. You know, if you could maybe discuss that a bit, just in terms of, I mean, there's recipe creation, recipe sharing. I know there was an update, been several months, maybe a year ago now, with the ability to do some water chemistry work. Yeah, it really changes when, again, I can put everything into my laptop, into my Mac, literally just pair it with my phone, and then the system becomes automated. So, yeah, if you could sort of just, you know, talk, and I know there's, as we spoke about, there's some changes coming to the website and the community. You know, yeah, can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, sure, no worries. When we started to look at, you know, how we can actually control these units via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi and help all those steps come through, we started to look at, you know, well, what do we want people to be able to use? How do we want to do this? You know, there's a plethora of your recipe creators out there, and we were like, oh, well, we could, but we then have to do all this conversion and everything like that, and we'll still do that, but it would just be a lot easier for people if we do have the option for a native system as well. So we started building a recipe creator within there, and you know, I personally have spent a lot of my time on there. The water calculator is my baby that started up from a Excel spreadsheet and has been hundreds of hours of work. It's hard. It's not easy, you know. And you know, I did environmental chemistry at a postgraduate level, which mainly focuses on water chemistry. And it is, well, I don't want to say that it's dull, but it's dull. What I wanted to do was program it by style so that users can effectively select what style they are drawing.
Can you hear me? Hold on.
Does this make things better?
Ah, there we go. Here we go.
All right. I don't know what happened, man. Things just died on my end.
Yeah.
I apologize, brother. I really do. It's
No. It's all good. I think, yeah, and this is just rebooted and put the sound and everything through there. So I don't know if that happened at some point as well. And
all good. Well, you know what? It works better. It's good. I can hear you perfectly now. I can hear you perfectly.
Awesome. I was just talking about the water calculator. I don't know how much people heard of that.
Yeah. So if you could continue there, please.
So, yeah, the water calculator was something that I have been working on now for almost 2 years. And when I started to get into water chemistry for brewing, you know, it was a struggle even for me with my background. So what I wanted to do was to really make it a lot more approachable for people who invariably want to take that step probably too early for their brewing knowledge.
Are you talking about me, Sam? Stop it.
So what I wanted to do was to be able to run it very much in the same way that all of these recipe creators guide people in their catering their recipe to a particular style. So I went out there and I found as much information on the water salt profile for all of the current BJCP styles and implement these across most of the BA styles as well. Wow. And then work tirelessly through the chemistry and the maths to be able to take somebody's source water profile that they input in, the style that they're trying to brew, and match those to generate the salts that they need to create the beer that they want to brew. And so that people don't have to read through books and books, and even then still have to kind of be making a stab in the dark because everybody's water profile is different. So how could you get from A to B? So that's really what I was trying to do with that. And it's not perfect yet. I'm still working on it.
No, yeah.
But I think at the moment it gives people a very good start, and I'm continuing to work on that and give improvements and increase and, yeah, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And quite different to the other water salt calculators out there as well, which mainly just go, well, what do you want? And you're like, well, I don't know what I want.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and so we're just trying to apply the same rhetoric that we apply to our equipment side to the software side. We want to add improvements to the software that help people's brew days effectively, and we're going to, you know, keep trying to do that and push those boundaries and add new ones out there like this. Some pretty cool stuff out there that we're going to be releasing shortly, which most of the other none of the other calculators have yet. So
nice.
Hopefully that'll nice. Be some real handy stuff for people. And I've got an entire checklist of stuff that I've handed over to our small team of developers nice. to work through. So
that's awesome. That's great. I mean, it becomes a big deal. Look, it becomes, because again, when it comes back to what I said earlier, that ultimately someone like me makes beer because I think I can make it more to what I like, you know, and so it becomes down to doing little things with the calcium carbonate versus a gypsum to try and do I want a hop hop but accept a little bit of a drier finish? Or am I okay more being like an increase in hop taste, however, having more viscosity to the beer? And so, yeah, it's the water calculations become a big deal, and there's little things that actually make quite a difference. And so I think it's very, very cool, especially, you know, I mean, I think especially when you talk gypsum and calcium carbonate, but certainly when you get into pH, just trying to bring down and try to get in that 5.2, 5.5, 5.6 range, whatever, and what it will do for your beers is, I think it's a great thing that you've taken on, and not an easy thing in any way, shape, or form.
No, definitely not, because we had to do a lot of the calculations based on the lover bond of all of the malts that we have in the system, and because that all comes into play with the pH, especially during that mash. That mash pH is going to change based on your grist, and that's not just including sigillated malt, that's everything else. So then working through that, working then through what you're trying to achieve in terms of your sulfate to chloride ratio against your water profile, and bring that balance in there during the mash without having to use acid is, I think, ideal, because it's not, there are a few different acids out there that you can get. They're all different strengths, you know, all that sort of stuff. So if we can do that through just the, you know, influences of calcium sulfate versus calcium chloride and magnesium and sodium bicarb, then that's probably easier for people. But yeah, and for those out there, I believe that it's still only available in the beta as the water calculator, but we should be making that fully public for the rest of the system soon. It was just a couple of last tweaks that we wanted to do before doing that, so that should be fully available shortly.
Nice. Good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was trying the beta one, and then it was helping, and I get you, there's some kinks to work out too, but it was certainly getting me where I wanted to go. I have no issue, in my opinion, saying that grandfather has changed the entire landscape of brewing, introducing a completely new group of people to the hobby or trade. So, you know, I'm not super young. I know I look great for my age, but I mean, what are you smiling about, Sam? Stop it. No, when you start getting into seeing what people do to brew in terms of the huge pots on the stove, trying to get the heat up, trying to use coolers, I mean, that's just the realities of what someone had to do to brew beer. Man, I would love to say that I would be that dedicated, but I probably would be lying.
I was the same. As I alluded to earlier, I built three vessel systems before I started working with grandfather. After I'd only just kind of seen and kind of played around with them, but hadn't done much. After working for the company for a month, they were both up on, you know, trade site to get rid of. I was sold. So
yeah, there you go. No, right? Like, yeah. How can you not? I mean, because ultimately, so anyone who hasn't used this kind of a system, I mean, you know what? Instead of me saying it, it would be best to come from you. So, how is it that grandfather makes a brewing, and we can say a brewing day, but just brewing easier? How is it an all-in-one system?
Well, that all-in-one system is a bit of a tough ask. We do get a lot of questions around, oh, so you can ferment in it, quite the case. And I thought I might just clarify.
Yeah, it's an all-in-one system in creating wort.
Yeah,
I'm good with that. You want to get into your sparge, but I mean, let's be honest.
But you can do a no sparge one, and then it would be. But you know, there's some nuances with that. And yeah, what we did was we made a small portable system, because people are, you know, not able to have, you know, the quarter acre dream these days with, you know, a full garage and everything like that. We saw a lot of people wanting to get into brewing that were living in apartments or townhouses and that sort of thing. So the need was there and is still there, and increasingly so, for a small footprint system. And then beyond that, wanted to make it intuitive and easy to use, but in a way that you still felt that you were hands-on actually making the beer. Most of us that get into brewing, where what would you probably call maker personalities, we like to dabble and make things on our own, like you say, because we believe that we can make it better, or just a creativity thing, an outlet for creativity. And so that's where we wanted to go. We wanted to make the steps easy, intuitive, you know, eliminate some of the static around, you know, the different steps within brewing. And that's just what we wanted to do. And I think that's what has made this system really good. You know, the little things like, you know, as we've alluded to earlier, going from mash out to near boil, you know, most people with their systems, you do that full sparge even before you start heating to go to the boil. Right. That's an extra hour of time there that you're, absolutely, you know, wasting. And that makes the hobby more enjoyable and approachable as well, because you're going from, you know, an 8-hour brew day, 8 to 10 hours, I think, was some of my first brew days.
Yep.
Now I'm consistently around about the 4.5-hour mark, including cleanup.
Wow.
And that for me is, you know, fantastic. I've got, you know, one small kid and another on the way. And
wow,
you know, having that sort of time dedicated outside of that is not easy for people. So yeah, that's where we're trying to get to.
Absolutely. We got Eric Carcamo, 8835, says hi from Chile. Hey from Canada. And Sam is in New Zealand.
Hey from New Zealand.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. So, you know what? The grandfather can talk about as well, but there's also an individual, which I know grandfather is aware of as well, who is wheelchair bound and is able to play with the grandfather, which, I mean, like, okay, like that's fantastic. I mean, it's when you just get into what you have to do to brew, and there's an individual who is able to do so using the system who's wheelchair bound. I mean, I think it speaks volumes. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, so I can't imagine. So I mean, I would love to go to a bigger system. I'm very interested in the 40, very interested in the 70, you know, but when I do something like I just did my second year of an RAS, a Russian Imperial Stout. They get through it on the G30. I actually brew the first half of the grist and then retain the wort and use the wort as water in the second half. My brewing efficiency goes down a little, but you know what? So I think this one I have now is expected to come in at 11.8 before I put bourbon in it. So you know what? I'm doing great.
Yep.
I'm doing solid with it. You just get little workarounds, right?
Exactly. And G40 will help with that a bit. It's not a hugely large grain capacity, but it's a extra couple of kilos. So I did my Russian Imperial Stout, when was it? It would have been about April last year. No, it would have been before then. It would have been February last year, that is my gentleman's 12.5% Russian Imperial Stout. Nice. by the end. And so I do that on there, all grain, then throw that in the fermenter, age that on bourbon barrel and vanilla and cacao, and steep the bourbon barrel in homemade whiskey, because I can do that.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
And then throw all of that in there, and that bumps the ABV up a little bit. And so, I completely digress, because I'm thinking about that beer.
That's the reality, the ability to use the system and then push it to those things. So I'm quite looking forward to the 40. So, you know, has there been any thoughts about grandfather expanding beyond the home brewing side and going to the commercial side?
Not really, to be honest. The only area that we kind of look at that in is that, as I said earlier, we've got quite a few craft breweries using our equipment as their pilot system. So we just want to make sure that the repeatability is there, you know, the precision is there for people, for especially those guys, but also for the home brewers as well. Yeah, we're not looking at going into commercial size systems. I would say for now that you know, the 70 liter system will be our largest system for the foreseeable future. But that could change. I don't know. It could be that everyone goes out there and wants, you know, 200 liter system, and then we might consider that. But yeah, I don't think so. we like our homebrew community, and that's
great.
I think we will stay.
I think it's awesome. I think it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. And I'm excited to see what's happening on the 40. Any little life hacks in terms of brewing alternatively with the 30. So, you know, we just spoke about the RIS. One of the things that I love is that I've recently gotten, and I'm not sure what it is it's called. It's the basket that will sit on top of
the the overflow filter.
Fantastic. So I get very, very particular. So when I brew, I also put my mash basket in a bag.
Yeah.
just because I get particular that I really, really want it fine. But the overflow filter does a great job as well. It makes a huge difference. And likewise, you've got the kit you can purchase to do significantly smaller brew days.
Yeah, so the micro pipe work. Yeah.
Is there any little life kind of hacks that you talk about under 30?
Yeah, so one that I like to do, well, it's coming to sort of the end of your summer up there, but coming into our summer here, I like to do quite a few kettle sours for over the summer because they're great lawnmower beers. So the lid for the conical fermenter is the exact same diameter as the G30. So what you can do is you can do that lacto rest post-mash by throwing that conical fermenter lid on the top, throwing an airlock on there, maintaining that temperature 35, 45 degrees with your grain and your extra handful of grain or your pure culture lacto, and you can create really nice, easy kettle sours that way. The other one that I like to do, which isn't really brewing specific, is actually around cleaning. I have an extra pump lying around that I hook up in line with that G30, and then I convert that unit into a keg cleaner.
Okay, cool.
So I will take out the lid of the keg, hook both those pumps in line and connect them to the posts using ball locks and recirculate hot liquid by throwing the entire keg upside down and into the grain basket. And I can have that there at 75 degrees, so effectively pasteurizing while recirculating cleaner through there, and then just a quick scrub, rinse out, and I'm not having to sit there with a brush for 20, 30 minutes cleaning. And all of the beer that I produce gets consumed by the staff, so I have a lot of kegs to clean on almost weekly basis, and I normally put it off for about a month because I have other things to do. So any time saving that I can do in that way, I tend to do. So that's what I do. I'll hook that up, have that running. Keg in, I'll set that up, 20 minutes recirculating while I'm walking away, doing emails or in a meeting or anything like that. Come back, scrub, everything like that. So that's probably another one of my favorite for that system. And I think we're actually doing a post on how you can do that at home shortly. So for those out there who are interested in learning more about that, keep an eye on our socials and that'll pop up soon.
It's good because Jeep Night Owl just asked, I need to learn your technique. It takes me 4 hours of brew and 2 hours cleanup. How do I get it down to 4.5 hours? Be aware there's posts coming out about it.
For keg cleaning. In terms of just regular brewing cleaning, mainly just clean as you go is a good part of it. As soon as I've transferred beer out of the fermenter, I clean that fermenter and have it ready with sanitizer so that I'm all ready to go for the next one.
Yeah.
As soon as I've done the mash, I'm emptying out that grain basket and cleaning that grain basket. Then as soon as, you know, I'm transferred from the boil into the fermenter, getting that getting hot liquid in there that I've flamed from the counterflow chiller and throwing that cleaner in there and getting a brush to it and just, cleaning that out as quick as possible. So as well, we've already talked about shortening the mash out, but with the highly modified malts that we have these days, if your grain bill is, you know, 60% base malt or higher, you know, that conversion is occurring so quick these days that you can often do a starch test at 35, 40 minutes, and you'll find that you're actually already completely converted. So what's the point in hanging around for an extra half an hour or so to finish that mash? You may as well move on. And once you get that dialed in for that recipe, then you may as well shorten that step and move on. So that's another quick tip.
That's awesome. Well, you know, so when you start talking about the highly modified malts, I mean, is there any need anymore for step mashing or just go single infusion?
Oh, I am really on the fence on that one. I like to do a bit of step mashing on occasion for particular styles, and I know that a lot of the science out there says that there's not much in it, but you know, this is, you know, it's a 6,000 plus year old thing that we're doing, and there's a little bit of history and nostalgia and a keep up of tradition that I sometimes like to indulge in just to appease the beer gods.
I hear you. Listen, so I'm going to ask I'll ask this question, but before I do, just, is there anything that I have failed to ask that you would like to bring up, anything at all you'd like to be able to speak to? Kiwi Sumo, sorry, so I'm very interested in the G30 keg cleaning video. So there you go. So it's cool.
Yep. So that'll be coming out shortly. I believe it'll be a post rather than a video, but any comments made on there will get directed to me, and I'll answer those as quickly as possible. But hopefully I've explained it well enough in the content that we've written there that people will be able to get it and do it themselves, because, yeah, man, it saves a lot of time.
No doubt. What's your best memory so far working for Bevy at Grainfather?
It was probably going to HomebrewCon Portland a few years ago. My first time at that event. I've been wanting to go to that event for, pretty much since I first heard about it, probably about 8 years ago. So being able to go to that and go there, and all the people coming up and all the compliments and great things people are saying, and just seeing that extended community, because we generally only see that sort of stuff in our local, you know, community, but seeing that community is really across borders is really cool, and was really quite humbling to see.
Yeah, you know what, I guess that's cool, because I mean, I don't think otherwise that the Grainfather is as big as it is. I mean, it was a friend of mine that spoke to me about it and just, you know, said the ability to be able to do things straight from scratch again, as opposed to going to the grocery store and buying a cake mix, being able to make that cake straight from scratch. I mean, and that, you know, it seems very simplistic that I put it that way, but you know what, you know, I don't know, man, there's some good cake mixes you can buy, but again, I feel I can do better than those, and that's what it comes down to. I think that's very cool. So we have the fast feelers and facts next. Before I start that, I will ask again, is there anything else that you would like to speak to, anything else you'd like to mention, anything that's upcoming, anything at all?
All that I can say is that there is a lot coming. Stay tuned. I wish I could just blab about everything that's coming up, because it's really exciting, but I'm not allowed. I've been already told that I can't. from the powers that be. Yes, they want it all to be a big surprise.
It is what it is. It's good. It gets us, man. We're excited. I mean, even knowing him 40 is very cool. So that's good. All right. So the fast feelers and facts. Are you ready, sir?
Yes, I am.
All right. Can you name one position in the game of rugby?
Yeah, fullback.
Nice. What is the best named position in the game of rugby?
Lock.
Really? Okay, cool. You're the first, because you know the game of rugby. Most people would say hooker, but that's good.
Cool.
Yeah. Are you tattooed?
No, I'm not. I'm one of the few that doesn't have the extended beard and tattooed.
You need to start working on this shit. What beer would you, if it was spilled on a dirty table, still be willing to slurp up with a straw?
Oh, geez. I'd be very considered. There's a local brewery here in Auckland called Liberty, and they do a beer that's called Prohibition Porter, and it is a very delicious, big ABV stout that I have all of the years they've produced it, waiting for a good letter, and that would be one that I would be very tempted. Either that or something from Cantillon. Like,
nice. All right. Well, yeah. Whatever. Just do it. Best hangover food.
See, I'm one of those assholes that never really gets hungover. Much to my wife's dismay, who has about a 4-day hangover, fried chicken is definitely one that I like to go to after a big, heavy night. That's probably a routine one for me.
Absolutely, man. McDonald's, too. Like, any grease. Grease, yeah. Just cleans it up.
Yeah, just... Yeah.
Grease cleans it up. What hop is overused?
Mosaic. For clarity, I do love Mosaic, but at the same time,
I love Mosaic too. Two questions left. Have you ever passed gas and blamed it on a pet?
No, I don't. No, I haven't.
What's wrong with you, Sam? Do you actually? Come on, dude.
Yeah, why not? Awesome, and the worst time is at a beer judging, and then the room's full of gas anyway. You may as well. Everyone.
Like, I did this.
No pets to blame it on there.
As we get on through the show, it becomes like not Brewers banter, but Brewers burping because it just happened. So,
yeah.
Okay. So, typically, I would ask this is a challenge. However, I see you're on water now after coffee because it's like just after noon in Auckland. I will chug a beer. Typically, I would chug a beer if you chug one with me, but I will chug a beer if you make three attempts. Biting your own ear. You do not have to take this challenge. You do not have to make me chug a beer.
Oh, why not? It's 8 o'clock. Yes. Well, it'd be just after 9 there.
Yep, you did it. Okay. All right. So you got to make 3 attempts at biting your own ear. Let's go.
Ready?
Yep.
I'll start when you're ready. Or
I feel you're cheating me now. Look at you. You're greasy. I got to watch. Keep my eye on you. Okay. So this one here, I'm pouring up an oatmeal stout.
Oh, that's a bowl. I do feel mean.
Yeah, you're not a nice person, Sam. You're not a nice person.
And it's not even homebrew either, so it's nicely not. Canned and everything.
Yeah. It's this one is called Oat Cold. It's an oatmeal stout from Three Flip Brewing outside Fredericton, New Brunswick, here in Canada. So, yes, Jim Moody 709 says make him chug. He is a buddy of mine who comes into the show and is very disappointed when people opt out of the challenge. Very upset with you, Sam, you have opted in. I'm not actually upset with you. It's good. It's like 9:30. No. It's great. And I'm on vacation this week, so whatever, dude. So listen, I will chug this. You have to make 3 attempts at biting your own ear. I will not see you do this however, I trust you. I will say it is all about the All Blacks. I have a buddy who's moving from Australia to New Zealand this year. I'm going to get down and visit, and hey, man, hopefully we can get out for a beer sometime and shoot some more
shit. Yeah, definitely. Happy to show you around the fantastic breweries we have around here. So, yeah, keep in contact.
Fantastic. So here it goes to chug, and you have made 3 attempts.
Yep.
Lovely.
I think I did 4. We'll let the community decide if I...
It's good.
Try to rip off my own ears well enough.
It's good. It counts, man. It counts. So, Sam Loader here, who is with Bevy and Grandfather. Yeah, man, it's been fantastic to speak to you. I'm not going to lie, I've been looking forward to this episode for a number of months. As a user, it was a home brewer and a person who has brewed almost solely on the Grandfather system. Have done some professional brewing with others, but I love the fact, I love what you guys have made. I as well notice there's some little things that kind of like, okay, well, yeah. And I'm very much looking forward to the 40. Yeah. I think what you guys have done is absolutely fantastic. I think you've brought a whole new wave of people into doing All Grain and doing the, you know, from scratch recipes. And I think that's great. Sam, I really appreciate your time today representing.
Yeah. Thank you very much. It's always great.
Thank you very much for your time, brother. It has been awesome.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks for everyone listening.
Have a good night, but you have a good day, I guess. And it's like a piss.
Yeah, I got to get back to work, so.
You're closer to Friday than I am. What a bastard.
Yes. Yes, looking forward to Friday. I'm about 4.5 hours from cracking a beer, so.
Nice. Cheers, brother. Thanks, Sam.
Drink beer.
thank you for tuning into this episode, and thanks to Bass Brain for the music. This show has been recorded during an Instagram live broadcast. If you enjoyed it, please share and get ready to stream the next episode of Brewers Banter.
Drink beer.